Discover that fantastic point where science and magic meet. Welcome to Healing with the Rainbow Rays. Your host is Alejandra, the internationally known healer, teacher, and author. Alejandra's website is www.colorhealing.com. Healing with the Rainbow Rays will inform, inspire, uplift, illuminate, and transform you. This show explores all the different metaphysical, self-help, ascension, and holistic realms of consciousness. And its underlying theme is the art of color energy healing. Here is Alejandra.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. And we've got a good one tonight for you. Let's pull this guy down here. Hold on just a moment. There we go. Okay. We're having a little bit of computer problems tonight. I just got on here in the lickety split. Anyway, we've got Roland Mills back tonight, and I'm really looking forward to talking with him the next hour. And feel free to call in if there's any questions. And we have the chat room open, so you have a couple ways to come in. You can also ask questions from the chat room. Let me give you the call in to be able to talk to him here. Put your hand up if you would like to, and you don't have to. Just don't put the hand up, but it's 347-945-6930. Again, that's 347-945-6930. Okay, so anyway, before we get on with him, I just wanted to let you know I'm going to be doing a new webinar sometime later this month, and I think it's probably later at this point, the end of the month. I don't have a date set yet, but it most likely will be maybe the last Tuesday of this month, and it will be on the gemstone rays, and this will all be very brand new material, the couple-hour webinar. So I'll get a posting up soon. I would just maybe do a save the date. And actually, let me look at that date. I think that would be really good. This is something I would normally not do on the radio, but hey, we're all friends here. Okay, yeah, I think that we'll probably set it April 26th. And so put that time on your calendar if you're interested in this. And I know I have a number of my students that are, like, getting really excited about it. And it'll be 5 o'clock Pacific, so it'll be 5 to 7. All right. So, you know what? We have just a short time, and there's so much to discuss. So let me do the intro on Roland. And he is a functional medicine practitioner and nutritionist and herbalist and all kinds of other things a mile long. And he's been studying nutrition and natural healing for 25 years. His passion, dedication, and inspiration to discover how the systems of the body work to achieve health and balance was born from his own struggles for personal health. For him, the power of food as medicine was not a simple curiosity, but an attempt to discover a pathway to not only improve the quality of his life, but to save it. Currently, Roland is a holistic health practitioner, certified clinical nutritionist, herbalist, and certified health coach. He has a Master of Science in Nutrition and is a graduate of the Natural Healing Institute of Naturopathy and the Institute for Integrative Nutrition, Columbia University, New York. He's also a graduate of the ASMCP program in functional medicine and continues advanced medical and nutritional studies with many medical, naturopathic, chiropractic, and nutritional practitioners worldwide through the Institute for Functional Medicine. He is trained in all the different dietary theories, Eastern and Western nutrition, modern health issues, personal growth and development, and health counseling. He emphasizes that each individual is unique and that the environment of the human body and mind is inseparably connected to nature and the seasons of the earth. How one thinks is just as important as how one eats. The life-changing question that Roland asks is, how badly do you want to truly live your life, not just exist within your life, but to live life with health and vitality, both mentally and physically? It is a leap of faith for someone to answer this question and accept the challenge, but his desire is to share with all of us the power we have to harm or to heal the body. The power wrong foods have to create illness, and the power right foods have to promote health and weight loss. To understand how food is the most powerful drug one can put in the body is the knowledge that will change lives. Woo! And you know what? This is a short version of what Roland can do. So we've got the line opened up. Welcome, Roland, to the show, back to the show. How are you doing?
Thank you, Al. Doing good. It's good to be back.
Well, it's good to have you back. And I know we wanted to pick up where we left off last time. There were a number of questions that I didn't get a chance to ask you. And so what we'd like to do is kind of review a couple of the things. I think we wanted to talk about, let's see. Now, again, we're having a little trouble here. I'm pulling up the questions here. You know, while I'm doing that, just give a brief, I know it's not really brief, but this is for people that are coming on for the first time. Maybe they didn't get to listen to the first show. And by the way, it is in the archives, everyone. So you can go download it. But how did you get into it again? I mean, you know, it hints around, of course, it doesn't really hint. It says in your introduction, you know, that you encountered problems, and that's what pulled you into it. Can you just give a Reader's Digest version of what made you seek this out? And then,
sure,
you know, from there.
Yeah, ever since I was a little guy, I was sick. I mean, ever since I was a baby, I had all kinds of congested issues where, you know, everything from asthma to pneumonia, bronchitis, et cetera. So I had a lot of problems with my lungs. And so I really didn't have a real active life because of it, and really didn't have an answer as to why I was so sick all the time as a kid. And it made my life not so, you know, normal for a young guy, because I wasn't able to get out and do a lot of the things that all the other people or the other kids were able to do. And as I got older, you know, I still went and got involved in a lot of things and tried to keep myself active, but I still kept falling into the same problems with asthma, pneumonia, bronchitis. I had a lot of different issues, health issues, not just dealing with lungs. I had things what we call today autoimmunity, where the immune system is actually attacking your own tissues. So I was just fortunate enough to meet a wonderful woman, Lois Widman, who at the time introduced me to a new life, because she took pity on me and said to me, you know, hey, if you do the things that I share with you, this will really help you. Are you willing to do it? And I look back and I realized that she was going to spend a lot of time with me, and I knew that if I was just going to ignore what she had to say, she didn't want to waste her time or mine. So I actually dedicated myself to her, and she took me out and trained me in what was going on and what she knew in my body and what we knew on a nutritional level. And this was back in the early 80s. And we knew a lot more than we realized that we knew back then. It just was being hidden by a lot of lawsuits, et cetera, from Western medicine, who was basically pushing the pharmaceutical approach. And I'm not here to say that the pharmaceutical approach is wrong. I think that Western medicine has a wonderful place because it actually is great for acute care or emergency care. You know, if I was to break my arm or get my artery cut or something extreme, I would definitely look to Western medicine to help me with these emergency issues. However, as far as developing diseases where they came out of nothing when you were once healthy and then all of a sudden you have a disease, just medications itself might mask the problem, but it never gets to the root of the issue. And Lois was teaching me the roots of these issues, and she shared these things with me. And within a year, I had gained about 40 pounds of muscle. I completely changed my life. As a 5'9" young man that was about 24 years old, I weighed 118 pounds, so I looked really poor as far as my health and my muscle development, and she changed me completely within a year. And that really meant a lot to me, and it meant a lot to those who were close to me that saw the changes in my life. So I became just hungry to learn, and that's when I went into focusing on getting a master's in nutrition, etc., and focusing on learning as much as I could about herbs and foods and how they work and supplements. Even though the supplement age was not as developed as it is today, it still was much better than not having it. So that's basically how I got introduced into it, and she sent me on a journey that actually has changed my life, and then through that I've been able to work with hundreds of people through my life and try to help them as well. We've had great success in that.
Oh, wonderful. Hey, we have someone in the chat room, Stephen. He holds down the fort a lot, and he's wondering, what do you do about bronchitis? So we'll sort of skip to a question here before we get into sort of the meat of what you offer. But is there something you could help him there with?
Yeah, definitely. With bronchitis, it depends on if you're looking for an immediate cure for it or if it's something that's reoccurring over and over and over again. What I found out and what we're going to discuss tonight is it has a great deal to do with what you're putting into your body and what you're altering in the chemistry of your body. And what you have to do is find what's not working for you in your actual diet and environment, what it is that's creating this huge weight on your immune system that both is confusing your immune system as well as overworking your immune system, which then allows the immune system to be deficient and not be able to keep up with the issues of the environment, like bacterial infections, etc. So we have to look at that first. And then there are natural supplements that you can actually take that will assist in keeping bacterial infections at bay in the body. And just to throw this out there, one of the most powerful that we have comes from the bees, and it's called propolis. Propolis is one of the most powerful antibacterial and antiviral and antifungals that you can take, but you want to make sure that you speak with a health practitioner on taking it appropriately, and also making sure at the same time that you take it with, or alternatively with, probiotics. Those are the natural bacteria that live within your digestive tract, etc., that you want to keep populated in there because they actually negotiate with your immune system and keep you balanced. So it's number one, we look at the environment, what's going on, what is your body having to deal with that it can't handle appropriately, that is weakening the immune system, remove that issue, and then add in all the nutrients that it needs to make it strong and to build up the immune system.
Oh, wow. Okay. Anything for allergies? Well,
I guess
that's something
thing.
That you have to really go through. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same thing. As I want to discuss tonight, too, is with allergies, think about an allergy as an overactive immune system to a natural environment. So what if your body, for whatever reason, is dealing with all kinds of things from the food you're eating and from the air you're breathing and the water that you're drinking that it's not evolved to deal with? Let's just put it that way. Let's just say you're missing certain enzyme development in the appropriate amounts in the body, and that the immune system's communication is actually deficient or overactive and confused, then of course what the body does is it has an over-response to everything. So what we're finding, and I'll just throw this out there too, is that the majority of all of the diseases that we're facing, we call chronic diseases today, are stemming from our digestive tract. And it's from a thing we call gut permeability or leaky gut. And these little elements that aren't fully digesting are actually creating inflammation in the digestive tract, and they're getting into the bloodstream before they're fully broken down to micronutrients. So once they get into the bloodstream, they're foreign, and they're foreign proteins. So what the body has to do is it has to send the immune system after it to mop up the mess. And the immune system gets so overwhelmed with all these different environmental proteins that it actually begins to overreact to everything from the environment, from the things we breathe, from pollens, etc. So, again, we have to find out what it is that's overburdening the body. You got to go to a clean diet and do something like what we call the elimination diet, which allows you to remove all the foods out of the diet that typically would be a problem or an issue in humans. Remove all of those and go on a clean diet for 7 to 10 days, and then add a particular food group back every 3 days. And your immune system cools down for about after those 7 to 10 days of this fast on clean foods. So once you add that offending food back, it's like a swarm of bees. You definitely have a response to that food, and you definitely then know that food does not work for you. That's basically called the elimination diet, and it works very, very well.
Sounds great. Well, I know we wanted to review a couple things that we had stated in the original show, and one is briefly first to discuss functional medicine, which you do.
Well, yes. I got excited when I learned about functional medicine. If anybody has ever heard of Dr. Mark Hyman, he's somebody that's written a lot of great books out there. Ultra Metabolism is one of them, Ultra Brain. He also has one that has to do with diabetes, etc. So again, his name is Dr. Mark Hyman. I got turned on to him through the Institute of Integrative Nutrition. He was one of the main speakers there on one of our main presentations that came in, and I learned about functional medicine through him. And so from there, I actually, after I graduated from the Institute of Integrative Nutrition, I joined functional medicine and I began training in functional medicine. And it answered all the things that, I mean, it followed everything that I had learned from Lois, but it did it in a science so that you actually had all the clinical studies to back it up. And it was really an amazing journey to see that we actually took the science that the pharmaceutical companies have been using and we turned it on the other direction on looking at how foods affect the body, and that understanding that those foods that we're eating either can create illness or create wellness was extremely powerful. And so functional medicine is really, in a nutshell, is an organization of many different practitioners from many different modalities, everything from your regular medical doctors and all of the modalities that fall into that as well as naturopaths, chiropractors, nutritionists, dentists. All of these individuals come in for their continuing medical education that we're required to do every year. And we actually fulfill that, but at the same time, we learn the natural routes, that there are other routes to help people by changing their diet, doing elimination programs, going after herbs and supplements, etc., in order to create better health in a body. So functional medicine, its main focus is on finding root cause of disease, not how we can just mask it for a short time with medications, but find what caused it in the beginning, reverse that, and then the disease goes away.
Amazing. So so the next thing I wanted to ask about was, let's see, what's the name of it? It's called Bioindividuality, Genes and Disease. If you would review that briefly for everyone, since some may not have heard the last show.
Sure, happy to. This is really an important concept and science for people to understand, because everything that we talk about and healing is based on it. To actually find what will work for one individual to heal them, or for them to heal themselves, I should say more correctly, is fundamental to this concept. Bioindividuality was coined by the Institute of Integrative Nutrition. However, the concept of it has been around for a long time. And what it is it means that what we've learned genetically about our genes is that the majority of our genes are flexible. They're adaptable. Because if our genes were fixed and that they could not adapt to the environment, we wouldn't live very long, nor could we evolve from one lower organism or more complex or to a more complex organism. So mm-hmm. We had to have genes that actually could adapt. So the idea is that from the conception, from your conception and your birth, through your adult development, our genes or our life codes, what we like to call them, are adapting to an individual's unique environment and their exposure. And that explains why each person has a unique food and lifestyle need. That explains why one person's food could actually be another person's poison. Now, the reason why this is really important is we have one major new line of science out there. And I don't know, Allie, if you've heard of this, I'm sure that you probably had, but it's called epigenetics.
And
it's really getting a lot of news, a lot of science now, because what we're finding out, do you remember in your days when you went through nursing school and you learned about DNA and you learned about proteins and how they're made in the body and that only 5% of your DNA is used to make proteins, but they never understood what is all the other part of the DNA doing, you know,
we had
these exons that were taken out of our genes, that, I mean, reassembled, and they then made this messenger RNA that then determined all the proteins that are made in your body, which are many, including your enzymes. Enzymes in your body are proteins. So your DNA determines all the enzymes that will be made for you to function in the body. But these things that were being cut out, eliminated to make the messenger RNA were called introns. These guys, they always thought they were junk DNA. But what we're learning in epigenetics is that introns actually, which are 95% of the coding within your DNA, these guys are actually responsible for epigenetic programming. Now, what is that? Well, it means that whatever your DNA is exposed to in the environment, outside your DNA, outside your DNA, it actually determines what genes will be turned on to help you stay alive and what genes will be turned off to help keep you alive. So according to the environment out there, whether it's what you're eating, drinking, breathing, feeling, your genes are constantly being altered and changed and controlled by this stuff we used to call junk DNA that is now determining these genes that determine what will make your proteins, et cetera, in your body. So it's pretty fascinating that epigenetics, which actually nutrigenomics, here's the other study, and that's the study of what food does to your genes, which is nutrigenomics is basically just a part of epigenetics. It's another epi. It's another thing outside your genes. What those nutrients that you're consuming and how well you digest them and how they influence your genes and how well they will function. So that's, in a nutshell, that's bioindividuality. Because if you figure every single individual, you know, as we go through the time we're being developed in the womb and then we're born and then we move to a particular environment, our parents feed us a certain food, our schools feed us a certain kind of food, we're exposed to a certain kind of water. Every one of us have been exposed to different varieties of environment. So we definitely don't have identical genes adapting to identical environments. So because of that, in order to deal with disease as it manifests later from all of this, we have to actually find out what each individual is having an issue to in their environment and remove that and then support the body and then restore the genes back to how they were originally created in order to be able to keep you healthy through life.
Wow. quite a subject.
I mean, does that make sense when you think about
it? Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, much more sense than the standard medical field. This actually makes more sense. Yeah. They would just adopt that more. So last time we were working on the last thing that we were really talking about was using this particular holistic view. There were certain steps that you would recommend as guidelines for prevention of disease and, you know, doing things like dealing with chronic illnesses, improving overall health, that kind of thing. And what's escalated over the last, say, 20 years with that?
Yeah, well, like I was just saying, do your genes, I mean, you have to ask yourself a question because we've been hearing so much that your genes determine it. Like if somebody tells you, oh, your mom had diabetes, so you're definitely going to get diabetes. We're finding out that's not true. That you can actually reverse these things, so through long-term diet, et cetera. However, this is a good time for me to make this point too. However, we always keep hearing this word called cure. Okay, you know, we always hear about a cure for this and a cure for that, et cetera. Whether it be in Western medicine or in natural medicine, that there's these cures. When you really look at what we just discussed a minute ago, I don't believe in the word cure. I don't think there's such thing as cure, because if it really depends on how your body, your genes express themselves to your environment, if you don't change the way you express your genes, then you can't get better, right? Or if you do change it, if you do change this and you do get better, and then you go back to your old ways, won't the disease then remanifest again? So this is why when we say cure, that all depends on how well you're really listening to your body and how well you really want to make a change in your life. If you find out, for example, that you're terribly allergic to dairy, which a lot of people are because of the fracturing of the protein casein from superheating it, et cetera, through homogenization. So if you find that out and you keep eating dairy, then you keep expressing the genes that are trying to keep you alive, but yet then you deplete your body in other areas because those genes are now out of balance and you get sick. So simply, when we look at this bioindividuality, we have to really look at a dedication to really finding what it is that's been the thorn in your side health-wise, taking that away, whether that's a physical thing or whether it's a mental, emotional thing. It's just extremely important to find that and be dedicated to keep that removed so that you can retain that excellent health for many years of your life. So where we left off last time when we talked about this issue, we got into something called the 7 steps of wellness. And it's something that I really love that we talk about in functional medicine, and Dr. Mark Hyman talks about it, and I use it in a slightly different order, especially from some of the things that I do, the programs that I run. But they're extremely important because what they do is they give you a starting point for you to concentrate on how to get your life back in order, both physically, mentally, and emotionally. So we were talking about those 7 steps of wellness. Did you want to jump into those right now and start discussing them?
Yes, let's do that. Absolutely.
Okay. In jumping into this, remember we mentioned last time we talked about primary food and we talked about secondary food. Okay. Primary food, the very first important food, is your healthy relationships, a fulfilling career, regular physical activity, and spiritual awareness. They're all essential forms of nutrition, right? I mean, that relationship and how you feel about your life is extremely important to how you feel emotionally. And then secondary food is actually the healthy food that you eat and the water and air and vitamins and minerals and all the nutrients that feed the body and the mind and all of its metabolic functions, okay? That's secondary. However, they both play an equally very important part. And so when we talk about these 7 steps to wellness, I want you to keep that in mind because you're going to see everybody out there is going to see that part of these have to do with the body and part of them have to do with the mind. Very, very important idea to grasp. So when we talk about nutrition, we want to get things digested, right? We want to eat that thing that we're eating, and we want to be able to digest it. We want to break it all the way down to the micronutrient levels so they can be absorbed, and then when they're absorbed, the cells can then use it to do what it's supposed to do in the body. So the very first one that I want to talk about here is about the power of nutrition that we have here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And what we're going to do is the first seven steps, I'll just review them with you. I wanted to pull them up so that I could look at them and follow them. But number one is you're going to boost your nutrition. Number two, we're going to regulate your hormones in your body. Okay. Number three, we're going to reduce inflammation in the body. We all hear that nasty word, inflammation, because it's the root
of all
these
diseases.
Yeah,
it's really big these days.
it sure is.
Yeah, it's like an inflammation bandwagon. I mean, you know, you never used to hear about it, but now it's out there really big time.
Yeah, yeah. We know that the basis of all these diseases are just rooted in inflammation, and inflammation is basically just a dysfunction or proper function of the immune system. So number four is improve your digestion, extremely important. And then number five is you're going to maximize your detoxification of your body. And then number six is you're going to enhance the energy of your metabolism. We'll talk about that. And then the last one, number seven, which is extremely important, is you're going to soothe your mind. You're going to learn to soothe your mind.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a big part.
It sure is. That's where, you know, with your life, you've devoted a lot to that. And that is so powerful because I can tell you in my experience, I've had people that I work with that they have a really hard time in their life. They're not happy in their life. And they change their diet. They eat really well. They take supplements, etc. They do improve, but their wellness doesn't completely occur until they work with their mind. So if you don't get the other, you know, that other part of who you are settled and soothed, then of course you never find that true health inside, that vitality.
Absolutely. Well, I'm so glad that you're actually stating that because in so many ways it's not to underestimate all the value of having the wonderful, you know, nutrition and the regulating hormones and all the different things, but almost the peace of mind aspect, the connections the person has interiorly, it's almost like you can get by sometimes with messing up your food and a few other things, but if you have a very strong interconnection, sometimes you can get by with stuff. I mean, I hate to say that exactly because, you know, I think that it's so important, but just to show how important that aspect is, but that if you don't have any of that and you do all the right things, it still might not get you where you want to go. I mean, I also put it this way, it's probably at least equally important to doing the nutritional aspect. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly right. Yeah, that's why the way that Western medicine is expanding and it's doing much better in that area, but the way it used to approach it and the way they used to think that stress was no big deal and, you know, they really used to poo-poo allergies and all this, you know, they're waking up to all of this, which is a great blessing for everybody that at least we're all getting on the same page here, you know, and we're getting to these root issues. And If you don't have them balanced, then of course you don't find the true health. And, you know, the logic of it and the science of it match. Because if you think about your body as a living, breathing ecosystem, okay, just consider that for a moment. When you're doing a garden out there and you're getting your organic soil out there and you're making sure that the pH of the soil is right, okay, for those plants to grow and germinate, that it gets just enough light that it's supposed to get, that it has a great combination of natural insects in that actually support the balance of that garden in order for it to grow well. Because if you get too much of one kind of insect, they'll destroy the plant. So you basically have to have this balance. When you look at the human body, the human cell is extremely intelligent, especially the immune cells. They're amazing. It's almost like they have this higher intelligence that that thinks like we
do.
Yeah, they're social. And they're social organisms. Just like when we look at a bee and how it works in its hive, our immune system works like that, and so does our cells, and they're interdependent on one another. And the ecology of the body.
Well, I thought they even got so far as to say that even aberrant cells like cancer almost seem like little individuals. I mean, they have a certain intelligence to them, wouldn't you say? Even because I think cells generally are there's a kind of consciousness with them, and this is pretty radical thought. I mean, most of the medical field probably would not go so far as to say this, but that's been kind of my feeling. And even aberrant ones like cancer. So say you're in a war with you're doing a whether it's a straight chemo or radiation, or whether you're going with something holistic and nutritional. Isn't there a war going on in there between the aberrant or cancer cells and the regular healthy cells? There's really a war going on in there, and the cancer cells don't want to be obliterated because they have a certain intelligence, and it's like a battlefield. You know, they don't want to be killed. And you know, and when you think of it that way, I actually get an odd sort of compassion for the cancer cells, even though we don't want them to take over. I actually kind of feel for them, you know, because you start to see them as, you know, as something that wants to live also.
Yeah,
you know,
and
is that kind of weird? I was thinking that the other day.
No, you know, Allie, that's a beautiful way of putting it, because one of the things that I was highly impressed with functional medicine is when they talked about cancer. They talked about cells that had basically been mutated. The DNA had basically been mutated, hit by several epigenetic toxins, okay, to the point where they mutated, and now they actually think they're immortal. They are immortal. They keep reproducing. They want to keep living. They also have an affinity for the sugar molecule, much more so than our discrete cells themselves. And so they basically take on this function of misdirection in the body. And because of that, the body, with many of the cancers, tries to close it off and tomb it, like we see within a tumor. Keep it out of the body and spread around and metastasize throughout the body. So the body has this innate intelligence that basically imprisons the cells to keep them intact so that they don't continue to do more damage and actually end the whole organism. So there is this innate, like you mentioned, incredible higher intelligence to these cells. And one of the things that I was impressed with one of the speakers in functional medicine is just that point, that they're looking at not just how to kill the cell, but how to influence it with a new epigenetic environment that will actually turn the genes back on that are supposed to enable its natural death, its natural evolution, so that it no longer acts like a cancer cell. That's the direction they're looking at. They're not looking at bombing the whole body.
Well, think about how hard it is for us to change. I mean, someone came in and said, you need to completely transform yourself from this to this. And you go, oh, wait a minute. This is what I know. I mean, think about it. Our bodies are the microcosm, and the macrocosm reflects that. When we're, you know, we put criminals, so-called criminals, sometimes they're not, you know, they're not really criminals. They just have hard times with drug addiction and stuff. But, you know, we have prisons, right? We imprison the people we think that who are detriments to our society. In a sense, the body's doing the same thing. I mean, as within, so without, right? And it's kind of on a larger scale, you know, in terms of isolating people that don't seem to fit within the regular communities that we have. And isn't it that way in the body as well? Now, we wouldn't want that to run amok in the regular community, where people that were a danger to others and themselves were out running loose, of course. And we can't do that in the body. But, you know, it's so interesting how what goes on in there goes on in the greater reality as well.
Yes, it's the old saying, as above, so below, or as, you know,
as
out
within,
there, like
so
you said,
without.
In the macrocosm, so in the microcosm. It's really true. I love in my classes, I love showing the actual universe, you know, going out in all the many galaxies we now are seeing out there, and then shrinking, you know, coming back down toward our star and our Earth and our, you know, and then to the different species, and then to the human being, and then into the human being's body. And then once you go down into the micro level, you see a vast universe within that body. And it's just amazing when you really look at it that when you're trying to bring health to your body, health is not so-called a cure. It's that you're missing something that your body needs for balance. And the whole mm-hmm. act of truly being a healer is finding what's missing and adding it back in. And the second half, too, is finding what is gumming up the works. What's making you toxic? What's making it difficult for your body to function, whether that be at a physical level or an emotional level, and removing it. And I like to liken that to, you know, stepping on a tack, you know, or getting a big splinter in your foot or in your hand, and it hurts really bad. I mean, do we really go out and buy some ibuprofen and some aspirin and just keep popping those every day to knock the pain down, or do we actually get and pull the tack out or pull the splinter out? And that's the way we have to look at our balance. We have to find out in our lives, what is it that we have brought into our lives on a physical level that's creating this imbalance within this microcosm we call our human body? And how do we eliminate that? How do we pull it out so that it can regain its balance again?
Well, yeah. I think, you know, what we're looking for really is a state of well-being, whatever that means. And it isn't just in the emotions and the spirit and the mind. People have got to realize to deal with the body as well, because I think sometimes, especially in my field, I think people do escape sometimes the body, it's just so gross and it's keeping me from my spiritual thing and, you know, that kind of, I mean, you hear all kinds of stuff. And I think it was worse in the old days when you see, you know, nuns and monks, for example, or other ascetics, you know, treat the body absolutely horribly because they felt mm-hmm. like to pull their consciousness out of the body to the upper levels to become one with the cosmos and go into a state of nirvana and whatever it was. They had to mistreat the body, you know, hair, shirts, and, you know, lack of food or starvation. So many things they used to do, and they may have gotten to some more lofty states, but the body died on them pretty fast. It didn't last very long. And now we realize that we have to bring the body in with this. This is the time of health, that we're doing all the spiritual stuff and we're doing all the well-being stuff, but we had something really missing, and that was the key ingredient, and that was the physical body that has to go along with the rest of you.
I agree. I mean, if we look at your first example with the monks, etc., and how many of them actually, many of the spiritual leaders used to beat their body because they thought that their body was filthy or dirty. You know, if you look at that idea and you think, okay, do we have a purpose here? What is the purpose of all living things on this planet? And if there is a purpose that we're here, all of us, of every species we can imagine, you know, the billions of different species that live here on the planet, of animals and plants, if we're here and there's a purpose for it, then isn't it might be that not just to elevate our consciousness, but to elevate the consciousness of the entire planet? And we can't mm-hmm. do that by escaping it. We have to actually engage into the planet, make ourselves a shining light on both a physical and an emotional level, so that together we can raise the whole planet to its highest potential. We can't just dust our feet of it and leave it behind. It's a part of who we are, and it's a part of our schooling and our development.
Well, you know, technically we're all one, and we just feel like we're separated. And, you know, that Brothers Keepers thing, you know, there's some truth to that, that, you know, we're in this all together. And while we can try to lead others into a better example, it takes massive amounts of people to really affect that kind of a change. And, you know, the thing is, one of the things, too, is do you see animals mistreat themselves as a rule? They don't beat up their bodies, and they usually try to eat well, right? You know, most animals that you can think of, they try to eat well. And, you know, why, if we're so intelligent as human beings, why are we, we're not even that far that they are, you know? And they also know how to live in the present moment and feel happy often with where they're at, you know, unless they're, you know, in some sort of danger from another species or something. But, you know, there's a contentment there, and there's a an acceptance, and there's a treatment of their own bodies. It's so much beyond what we are. We could take an example there, you know, of watching what they do.
We really could.
We just think too much or something. Maybe we just think too hard or think too much. We get ourselves in a pickle.
And you know your point about how we're all interconnected and how important it is to understand that that we are connected. It's the way we have to understand that that's what brings healing to the physical body, because the cells of our physical body, they do realize that they're interconnected. Every cell that makes up different organs and every cell that makes up your digestive tract, you know, you have 100 trillion on average cells that make up who you are. And then you have 1,000 trillion little creatures that aren't you, that live on your skin and in your digestive tract, et cetera, that actually help you even to digest your food and keep you balanced in the environment. So we're really looking at this ecosystem of a human body or any animal.
Yeah, it is.
That, and you got to find, number one, what is it that we're missing? What is it that has sent us off so that we're not doing well physically? What is it our body is missing? And what is it that has got into it that shouldn't be there that is actually causing a misfunction and that? And so if our body lost the connection and the meaning of oneness, the way human beings as a species have lost that meaning, we would all be loaded with cancer and wouldn't live very long.
Right. I'll tell you, though, it's really on the rise, isn't it, cancer?
I mean,
you never used to hear about this much of it now.
The statistics that I saw, Allie, which was really interesting to me, that at the time my grandma was young, cancer was looked at as, they figured, about 1 in 100,000 individuals. You know,
really?
Now now they're estimating 1 in every 4. And let's take diabetes, for example. Look at how rare diabetes was 20 years ago, 30 years ago, okay? Now medicine is admitting that they believe that in pre-diabetes forms, which means your resting blood sugar levels, fasting blood sugar levels, are anything over 130 and above, that's pre-diabetes. So basically, now they're estimating that 1 in every 2 Americans now have prediabetes. So we have to ask ourselves, did something go wrong with genetics? I mean, how it took millions of years for all of these complex forms to continue to grow and evolve, and lots of great consciousness moving on this, on the earth, to make these beautiful evolutions. And we think that we can come in here in 60 years and industrialize everything and make artificial chemicals of every kind and put it into our environment and think that our evolution can deal with those foreign substances. We have to be somewhat crazy to think that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at a rise in chronic illness that's exponential in the last 60 years. Why? So it's not genes, it's genes adapting to foreign environments. So to get out of this issue, everybody out there has to get the idea in their mind, if they haven't already discovered this, that they have to put on their Nancy Drew caps and become detectives, and they got to find out what it is that's in their body that's creating issues of imbalance and what they need to add into their body and into their life to create balance and nutrition back in. That's basically the nutshell of the real quest of finding out.
Yeah, I think it's primarily probably the GMOs, the really horrible, I'm not saying all fast food. It just depends on, you know, where you go. I mean, I know of a fast food place that's all natural food. Well, it's actually helped to do the menu. So, I mean, it just has a kind of a drive-up sort of feel to it. But, you know, the predominant ones that are out there and just all the stuff that's loaded up in the stores and that kind of thing, people are living on all of this. and then you know, the stress that they have in their lives is, I think, also contributing much more stress now in daily living than I think there was 50 years ago, for example.
Yeah, and I love that, being that we talk about boosting nutrition. I mean, I love that you bring up GMOs, because we have the science, even though Monsanto and those like them try to pretend that there's no proof that these things cause illness. There is great proof that these things cause illness among many different clinical studies among both animals now and humans. So, you know, when you actually take corn, for example, and you actually take a gene that's actually comes from a bacteria that produces a certain protein and acid that actually will kill bugs, it actually rots their digestive tract out, and you take that gene and you put it into the gene of the corn DNA, and then when that corn then gets its nice kernel going and a bug tries to eat it and it rots its gut out, to think that you and I can then eat that corn and that we are only a few percentage points different than a bug in the way it digests its food and think it's not going to affect our gut, we are, again, have to be pretty crazy to think that.
So, to eat some of these things. Oh, go ahead, sorry.
No, that's okay. People really need to become educated today. If they really want to get their health back and they really want to feel well, they really have to look strongly at the world around them and find out what their lifestyle is doing that may be creating these issues within their body. Because the beautiful thing that I have seen among hundreds of people in my lifetime of working with people is that it definitely works to get the thorn out, you know, or get the splinter out. It works. And then it works also to find your bliss within your life and to focus on those things, and then watch these things that we used to plague us and make our lives less productive. We watch those things go away, and we watch ourselves become a new person. We're actually reborn. That's where the real cure is. It's a rebirth back into the balance of nature.
Absolutely. So probably really the only safe thing these days, like if you were to want corn on the cob, for example, is just make sure you get organic.
Yeah. Well, you want to be careful even with that, Allie. And the reason why is because what they're doing is they're taking genetically modified corn and growing it organic. Now, they're fighting this, you know, to actually make it, you know, be labeled, etc. But according to organic, it's not supposed to be genetically modified. But there's a lot of crooks and thieves out there that basically bought out our government, and they actually run our government. And so we have to be very careful when it comes to the FDA's approval of things. So we have to actually look at things that actually are guaranteed, that these companies volunteer to say non-GMO on their packages. Our family, we limit our consumption to only those foods that are both, you know, certified and also carry the personal label of the company that they brag that they're non-GMO. And so when we buy organic corn, it has to say non-GMO organic corn.
Oh, so they're doing that now. Okay. Because I was thinking of a place like Whole Foods or Sprouts or something. When you're in there and you want to get some fresh vegetables, you really can't just assume the organic is okay now. I didn't know they were slipping through there and getting that. It doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
Yeah, it's because you've got these huge giant companies like Coca-Cola that actually buy out other organic farms. And then they put them under a whole another way of thinking about production. So we just have to be careful. We want to look at who it is that's providing it, and then we want to look at the label when we get it. There's so many foods now, Allie, you've probably seen it all the time now. You're seeing these non-GMO certified foods now. And even in some of the organic more processed foods where it's in a box and you can make it real quick, they actually do have the non-GMO certifications in there that come from the company itself. They brag and say, hey, look, we don't use it. That's the ones that we look for. And then we also look for our produce that way as well.
Okay, yeah, because I've been noticing it lately, with a couple of the products, it said that. I was like, oh, I like that. That's cool, you know. And but now I've been duly warned on the vegetables that are out there. Let's see, Jess, do we have time for another? We have a little bit of time. Can you tell us how, when you meet with a client, what do you look for when you're determining their health needs?
Okay. Well, what a lot of the things we've already talked about, we'll just sum it up that way. The number one thing that I look at with people is I ask them the question and we examine. I basically have forms that people fill out that allows me to examine what's going on in their body. It allows me to see whatever their doctors have found as their diagnosis, because I look at their diagnosis to see based on their tests. I also have forms that allow them to tell me all the foods that they choose on a regular basis. It lets me have a snapshot as to what it is that they're putting into their body and what their body is being exposed to every single day. That's basically the first part of it. So then I look and I decide from there what it is that is toxic in their body, and we then do a more like an elimination diet to determine the foods that we might think are healthy, because you could be eating a really healthy food and yet your body doesn't deal with it. For example, dairy, I like to bring that up because a lot of people have issues with that, and wheat. So we basically look at that milk protein called casein, and we see how somebody handles that. And if it's bad, then we remove it. So that's the second half of it right there, is that we first determine what they're missing, and then we determine what they're getting, but that's harming them. So I use these initial intake forms to analyze the individual's life. And then we meet and we discuss everything in detail. And then we look at a process to be able to determine the bottom line issues that this person needs. So I basically look at their immediate health at the time, where they were 10 years ago and where they've come to today. I look at the genetics of their parents. Did their parents have heart disease? Did their parents have diabetes? Now, why do I do that, being that the genes don't matter? Well, the genes do matter in the sense that they do express themselves the same way if you're living according to the habits of your parents. And most of us learn our habits from our parents. So it tells me that if somebody's mother had diabetes and somebody's father had chronic high blood pressure, then it tells me that this person is predisposed to that issue if they follow in the lifestyle habits of their parents. So we examine that, and we then teach them and instruct these individuals how to reconstruct their lives and move out of these habits that are making them ill. And at the same time, provide them a list of supplements that will support the body. And, you know, for example, all the organs, both digestion and detoxification, to help make them more well in the process, during their healing process.
Great. Well, there's another quick one I want to get in, especially since if we do go over, the chat room will not be able to hear anymore. But one question is, can antipsychotics affect one's nutrition, or eating healthier would help mental illnesses?
Well, yes, they can. Because it depends on what's creating the depression or the feeling in somebody's, you know, where they don't feel so well, both emotionally and physically. It depends on what's going on with their serotonin and their dopamine levels. It depends on their adrenal response. Like, you know, are we living in a constant state of stress where your cortisol levels are very, very high? Because this brings up something about stress and psychological issues and psychotropic drugs. Because if you're living a life that's full of stress, short-term stress is handled by epinephrine and norepinephrine released from the adrenal glands. Okay, those two hormones actually stimulate the body so that the sympathetic nervous system kicks in and you can get away from the threat really quick. Right? I mean, if a lion's chasing you, you don't need to digest food or have an active immune system. You need all the blood flow to go from your stomach and your intestines to your muscles so you can get away.
Right.
Okay. Okay, so that's what the body does, that when you're under stress, immediate stress, your body kicks into that mode. It takes away all the blood flow to the digestive tract, so you're not digesting your food very well, and it sends it all to the muscles so you can get away. However, long-term stress is even worse because cortisol rises, And cortisol interferes with the effects of many other hormones in the body. And not only does it do that, but cortisol actually depends on cholesterol. We discussed this a little bit last time. LDL, the one that they tell us has to be really low, they call it the bad mm-hmm. cholesterol. LDL mm-hmm. is used to create your stress hormone, cortisol, and all those that derive from that, as well as all your androgen hormones, which are your sex hormones. So LDL is fundamentally responsible for healthy sex hormone development as well as stress hormone development. So if you are always stressed at your job, you do not like what you're doing, your relationship is really bad, and your cortisol levels are always elevated into that stress level, okay? What it's doing is it's then taking away LDL from producing testosterone, estrogen, progesterone, DHEA, all those androgen hormones. It's stealing it away in order to keep your cortisol levels high. So all of a sudden, that's why when you're under stress, high stress levels of cortisol, sex drive drops. That's why immune system is suppressed. This is why a lot of the normal activities of being happy are suppressed at that. So when we talk about taking these psychotropic drugs, we have to ask ourselves, well, what are we really looking at? Are we looking at a serotonin uptake inhibitor that basically keeps serotonin longer in the system so you can feel better in your mood? Or are we looking at your lifestyle that we need to gradually change while you're on these medications? I would never advocate to just cold turkey remove these type of medications that people are on. But I would advocate that people look deeply with a good health coach and a good advisor that is medically trained that can actually look at what's going on that's creating this imbalance. What are you missing? Some people have these problems because they're taking statins and it lowers their LDL too low. So then they can't produce enough cortisol, let alone the other androgen hormones. So my point in this is that if you're affecting your stress levels and you're affecting the way that your body is dealing with stress, you're also affecting the way your body is metabolizing, the way it either holds on to food and fluids or whether it can release it by speeding up the metabolism. So, yes, taking a psychotropic drug can actually cause you to retain fluids, retain body fat, and actually continue to gain fat. So if the goal is to get back in shape, we need to truly reevaluate what is actually at the root of the depression or the emotional issue that's there. Now, some of it is very drastic and really is a genetic issue that needs to be addressed and worked with on a nutritional level as well. But most of it is an expression of genes brought on by an environment that's been polluted inside the body.
Wow, really great answer. So we are over. We need to actually leave, but I want to give out the stats for you. And you can reach Roland Mills at www.sayyestobetterhealth.com. So it's sayyestobetterhealth.com. That's all like one word. Or you could go to wholelifehealthforyou.com. That one is more. Is that the functional health one? Life.
Actually, I would say everybody could just go to sayyestobetterhealth.com because we went to a different. Yeah, that would be the main one right there, and they can also call my number that's there on the website, and they can schedule appointments. Or I love it when people communicate to me through the email too, because it allows me to be able to schedule and instruct them on what forms to use, etc.
Right. Now the number is 602, right? 469-0982. Okay, again, it's 602-469-0982. Well, it's been really great having you on, Roland. I can't believe the time just flies by when you're here. And I don't think we've definitely exhausted this at all, this whole, subject. There's so much more to talk about. So hopefully you'll come on in the future again with us.
I would love to. Yeah, we're scratching the surface.
Just scratching the surface, I know. I like it, too. We got into some deep existential stuff today, which is sort of interesting. But I think, that's the kind of people that are also, besides health-oriented, they're attracted to that in this particular show. But I think it's great, pulling that all together as, you don't have one that's separate from the other. It's all one big package. And so we'll leave everyone with that. Anyway, thanks so much, and I want to thank the chat room and those that called in and those listening in on the computer for being with us today, and also for those that get the archive later. Best to probably try tomorrow. You can try after the show, but I don't know if they're always up or ready to go. So definitely come back and pick up the archive. There's so much that's said that you'll want to hear it more than one time. And we'll see you all in a couple weeks. I have a birthday this week, and I have family coming in. So next Monday, we'll be doing stuff. So I am off a week, but I will be back the following week, which is, let me see here. It is the 18th, and I have Jonathan Robinson on. He's got everything about joy, the apps you can find, the things that you can work with, the gadgets and all the different things and meditations and stuff that bring joy to your life. It's really great how he sort of compiled all of this stuff into just one book about joy. He's been on Oprah and a few other places, so definitely tune in. I was immediately intrigued by that, and I thought, yeah, I could use more of that in my life. So that's in 2 weeks. We're off next week. So everyone have a fabulous 2 weeks. Thanks to Roland again, and namaste.
You have been listening to Healing with the Rainbow Rays with your host, Alejandra. We appreciate you as a listener and invite you to return to future shows on Monday evenings at 9 p.m. through 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Alejandra can be contacted by email at alejandra7777@yahoo.com. She also has 3 fan sites on Facebook: Healing with the Rainbow Rays, Accelerated Manifesting, and Rainbow Dolphin Pod Healing. Alejandra can be followed on Twitter at Alejandra7777. For information about her private sessions, ongoing classes, webinars, and speaking engagements, please visit her website at www.colorhealing.com. Namaste.